But I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful. But we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. And all will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Let us all unite! Let us fight for a new world, to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world, to fulfill that promise. Let us all unite!
Welcome back, folks. You're in the Corporation Nation. We're talking to Patrick Jordan today from vaccinefraud.com. Hey, you know, the Human Epigenome Project states as its goal. I wondered if this is the same thing. I actually didn't really. Maybe you can explain this, Patrick, or maybe you can't. I don't know. The Human Epigenome Project, HEP, aims to identify, catalog, and interpret genome-wide DNA methylation patterns of all human genes in all major tissues. Methylation is the only flexible genomic parameter that can change genome function under exogenous influence. Hence, it constitutes the main and so far missing link between genetics, disease, and the environment that is widely thought to play a decisive role in the etiology of virtually all human pathology. So all diseases that they've been putting into us, basically. Methylation occurs naturally on cystocyanin bases at CpG sequences and is involved in controlling the correct expression of genes. What is this methylation that they're talking about? Is that the same thing that we're talking about?
See, Clint, you're right on the top of this, and you're hanging 10, surfing the wave. You're right on the leading edge of the power of it. The methyl group is a carbon and three hydrogens. It's just a simple, simple compound. And what it does, it's the lock on the genes. So it keeps the gene from expressing, unraveling, presenting itself, and then telling the cell to make a protein. You know, copy me, copy me. The methyl group keeps that from happening. And if people are understanding now, if it's just kind of like creeping into their consciousness, the scope of what we're talking about, they have inserted retroviruses into us. Autism affects probably 1 in 4 kids now, which means that these vaccines have rewritten these kids with autism. And that's why the moms and alternative medicine is going, methylate, methylate. Of course, they don't have the first damn clue what they're talking about. They don't even understand methylation. It's simply a lockdown on a gene. Well, why would you want to lock it down? Well, because these monsters, these military monsters, have basically replaced 80% of our genome with their junk, which is not junk. It's purposeful, what I would say, like a demon possession of the human genome. They've rewritten us.
Yeah,
and the only way to keep that demon suppressed so that nobody notices is to put the methyl groups on there so that they're not expressing all the time and going, oh, gee, little Johnny's brain is really, you know, destroyed. Pay no attention to the damage behind the curtain.
Yeah, well, your quote here that you sent earlier today kind of was like, retroviral. So retroviral particles have always been looked at as sort of extraneous things. It says retroviruses, long thought to be junk DNA, play a role in regulating gene expression in the brain.
There you go, man.
You know, and I'm looking at that. Considering what I just wrote about, I'm looking at again the RNA takeover of the DNA and the replication, basically cloning of different communication devices. And I'm looking at that going, you know, if retrovirus is the quote-unquote junk DNA, literally regulate gene expression in the brain, right? And we have things like, oh, I don't know, entire species dying off daily. We have global warming, global cooling, global this, global that. We have geoengineering that is now being literally taught in colleges. The best, highest colleges you can go to are teaching the kids and telling them they're going to save the world, literally, in the darn prospectus of the class, that they can change the acidity of the oceans, and they can change the way that our atmosphere works, and they can change, and we, you know, we're killing the oxygen levels, we're doing all of these really crazy, crazy things, we're outlawing food, we're banning things. So if these things can literally, according to modern science, play a role in regulating gene expression in the brain, then why should I not sit here and think, dear Lord, all these crazy people that are doing all these crazy things in the military, in the government, of course, probably the most psychopathic, the ones that have been expressed the most, are the ones that are going to rise to the top, right? So why should I sit here and not think that we are dealing with, as we've talked about before, a massive, massive, literally viral or prionic or archonic, archaea, honestly, why should I not at this point look at this and say my entire fellow mankind is infected with something that science says very simply, long thought to be just junk DNA, is actually something that's literally controlling people, making them do things totally on a global scale against the best interest of all damn life on this earth. How am I not supposed to look at this, dude, and not, because nothing else explains what we are doing right now. Nothing explains science or what has become science, where you used to define what nature is. Now you're redefining it, playing God. Something is very, very wrong out there, and we're all sitting back here. You know, one of the things I wanted to say, Patrick, you'll get a kick out of this. One of my favorite movies is They Live. I will watch that movie over and over and over and over. And I was watching it the other day, and I noticed something I'd never noticed before, because now I'm studying this, now I notice things. The guy, you know, the main character who has the best lines of every movie, in any movie I've ever seen, he literally, okay, he's in a homeless shelter, and the police come and they destroy the shelter. And what does he do? He watches and does nothing. He runs. Then he's running through an alleyway, and he sees a blind man who's also a preacher getting the crap beat out of him by police. What does he do, like we do? Absolutely nothing. He watches it, and then he runs away, and he hides, right? Then he gets a pair of sunglasses, and the sunglasses show him that his fellow man isn't really acting as the... They're actually an alien species that have made things look like they're man, but they're not. Same thing. We watch as all this craziness happens because we think that this is normal somehow, that people are doing this. But I'm going to submit to you, Patrick, that my opinion has greatly gone to the point now where I'm saying, look, the reason we are not doing anything is because we are looking at these people thinking that they're one of us, that they're not somehow infected, just like the thing. we all look the same, but we're not. Something is drastically wrong with people, that they are doing this type, committing this type of behavior completely against the interests of human, of life on Earth, period, end of story. Taking things down to a point where the whole Earth is becoming more extremophile friendly. this competing life form. And you start reading all this stuff. You start reading about toxoplasmosis, all the different parasitic forms that we've talked about on this show. How am I supposed to think anything else but that something has happened to my fellow man, at least a big part of them, and they are acting against my best interest? How am I supposed to look at this any other way than with the sunglasses of knowledge that I've put upon myself thanks to you, the people on your list, and all of my own research? I'm sorry, but there is something desperately wrong with people. It's the Body Snatchers, it's The Thing, it's We They Live, it's all of these movies all wrapped up into one. And I'm telling you, folks, if we don't do something to bring this forward and stop watching it happen and actually, you know, start fighting this, doing something, figuring out how to test for it, I don't know. Frequency generation is my personal favorite, but there's just something wrong here. And I'm very disturbed that we're just sitting back and watching it. Because, again, I think it's because we can't see the parasite. We can't see the parasite, just like he couldn't see the blind man. But the second he put those damn sunglasses on, he's blowing cops away. He's blowing people away because he could see the infection.
Nice analogy there. I like that one, too. So here's my approach, Clint. It comes from the very opening page of my website, vaccinefraud.com. I am here to destroy hope. So you called me on the show to talk about SB 40. What do I say? I said that practically every man, woman, and child on the planet has or is going to be infected by this most powerful military weapon. Allow me to read this quote just to back up what I'm saying. In 1996, Tognun and his collaborators reported that they had also found the virus in 45% of the sperm samples and 23% of the blood samples they tested from healthy people. Blood samples? What if they're donating blood, for God's sake? Suggesting that the monkey virus could spread through sexual contact or unscreened blood products. Unscreened, you gotta be kidding me. In 1998, the presence of SV40 antibodies in human blood samples was reported by Boutelle, who tested several hundred American blood samples and found antibodies to SV40 in about 10% of them. Boutelle's laboratory also tested samples from children born from 1980 to 1995, decades after the contaminated vaccine was removed from the market. Now, if you believe that little addendum, you know, please send me some cash. Nothing. There is no such thing as a contaminated vaccine.
You got a bridge to sell me?
they're all foul witches brews. A surprising 6% tested positive, offering evidence that the virus may now be spreading from person to person, including from mother to child. So my whole thing is this, Clint. SV40 was shot or dropper bottled into us by Salk and Sabin, war criminals. It got embedded into the human genome. It's an endogenous retrovirus. It's now part of what we are. If it expresses itself and copies itself into our germline cells, the egg, the sperm, the mother's milk, the blood will then be infected, and it becomes literally contagious. They're using insulin to help their laboratory-grade stuff get inserted into cells. 80% of the human genome has been said, and, you know, I didn't do the work. I'm just repeating stuff that you and I have, like, uncovered. They say that 80% of the human genome has GAG, POL, and ENV genes in it. That means they're endogenous retroviruses. 80% of what is called human has already been taken over by this alien archon thing. Lose all your hope, because there's something about a natural-born rat. It will always try to run away when it's confronted with danger, just like you saw on They Live. But if you corner it, a rat will rise up and it will fight you. That's why I try to show people to lose their hope. If you hope things are going to change, if you hope the very creatures that you can't see as aliens are going to help you when it's their agenda to convert or kill you. And isn't that like the Islamic quote from the Quran? Convert or die? That is their message. Convert or we will kill you. Then our only option is to fight back. So what are solutions and countermeasures? Well, what we're looking at, and here's another search term, is excision. Because what we found in the 1960s, when they were working with SV40 and these other viruses, they were talking about using laboratory-grade chemicals to excise it from the DNA that they were experimenting with. There's always an antithesis. If it can be put in, it can be taken out. Now, the lab-grade chemicals would probably kill us, but there has to be what's called a restriction enzyme that could probably cut SV40 out. Then you would have to activate the capase enzyme cascade so that it destroyed that DNA so that it couldn't be used again. So there's a way that we're looking for of getting rid of SV40 and all the other crap that they shot into us. But let's go all the way back to the Fellowship of the Rings. When they cut off Sauron's hand, and his hand fell with the ring, the entire army just fell like dominoes of dust. So we have to ask ourselves, yeah, it would be cool if we got a restriction enzyme, cut out the SV40, got the capases activated, dissolved them, recycled them into our own, metabolic uses, and then went about our daily life. But if 80%, according to Abby Smith, I finally found her name, Abby Smith, her blog is called ERV. According to her blog, 80% of who we are, apparently, is endogenous retroviruses, would we still be able to live if we cut them out?
That's another theme of a lot of science fiction, is, you cut the mother and everything else falls. You see that all the time, especially, and there again, you see it as, with technology, especially. I'm going to revert back to Mr. Flicker, Yaroslav Flicker, biologist at the Charles University in Prague. He's a funny character. He says he first learned the ability of parasites to control their host 30 years ago after reading how certain flatworms can control ants by taking over their nervous system. And he said, of toxoplasmosis specifically, he said there's a strong psychological resistance. He's talking to you, folks. There's a strong psychological resistance to the possibility that human behavior can be influenced by some stupid parasite. And that's in The Atlantic as well in March 2012.
Oh, wow.
He's telling you, that your ability to believe in parasites is psychologically, we've been taught we are the superior species, that there can't be anything better than us, and yet we're talking about a life form that's way more advanced than us. It might not look like us. We don't anthropomorphize it to make it look like a man or a monster. No, this is something that has an intelligence so far beyond us. It has the ability to literally manipulate us at the cellular level. And what is they say that we've known about the toxoparasite since the 1920s.
Right?
In human studies, men affected with the parasite were more likely to become introverted and dressed down. Infected women behave just the opposite, dressing up and acting more sociable. The more likely a person is to interact with others, the better chances the parasite has of passing itself off. Why is our dress code changed so much? Why do women dress up to have sex? Well, because that's how it's transmitted. Why do men dress down? Well, because they actually, if you've noticed, that's how guys are dressing now. It's popular. That's why they're doing it. Parasites prefer the brain because it is removed from the body's immune system. But, I mean, this says, okay, the International Scientific Times reports about toxoplasmosis. Scientists say that toxoplasma, the Gandhi parasite, or toxo for short, living in 40% of our brains affects our senses of fear and risk-taking. Rats, of course, which we share a lot of characteristics with, that's why they use them, become attracted to cat urine. The cat eats the rat. You know, we've talked about this before. But when you see that this thing is being passed to humans, and the CDC reports that at least, and let me read from the CDC. This is the CDC. Toxoplasmosis is considered to be a leading cause of death attributed to foodborne illness in the United States. More than 60 million men, women, and children in the U.S. carry the toxoplasma parasite, but very few have symptoms. Why? Because the immune system usually keeps the parasite from causing illness. But Patrick, what happens when you're injected with a bunch of vaccines that specifically are designed to take your immune system away from you so that it's being practically replaced? I mean, when the CDC comes out and says at least 60 million men, when the scientific journals say 40% of all brains are infected by toxoplasmosis, which literally, when they do an autopsy on people who've been in high-speed motorcycle accidents, they find toxoplasmosis. They find it in the amygdala because it's stimulating dangerous behavior. Stupid, dumb-ass behavior, which is what you see throughout the human population, if you haven't noticed, going against your best interest, getting a sexually, basically, chemical reaction in your brain caused by a parasite, rewarding you sexually for going real fast like a real dumbass on a motorcycle. All right? Now, are you going to tell me, folks, that you can look at that and dismiss it when we've got so much dumbness going on in the world? I can't. Something is wrong.
So you know what you've done is you brought us all the way back to the 1990s and Holda Clark. Holda Clark's work was based on what's called hyperparasitism. A book by Hegner in 1936, I think, called Big Fleas Have Little Fleas. So what I'm trying to get done with my list members that do research, and I really expect all my list members to do research. My list is free for anybody to join, but my God, you know, how far advanced could we have been if everybody participated in their own salvation? And that's what this is. It's the fight for the species. So what we're looking at is, in nature, typically, what's called a large animal parasite, meaning the parasite itself is an animal, not a single cell. So it's a multicellular organism, like a fluke, like you were talking about, the flatworm, the fluke, the roundworm, the tapeworm. They bring in with them bacteria. And the bacteria bring with them, either on or inside the bacteria, viruses. So it's the classic Trojan horse, where you got the fighters hiding inside of the hollow gift that was rolled up to the gates. What was the natural carrier of SV40? Because this SV40 started in monkeys. As far as I can tell, monkey kidneys. How the hell did it get into the monkey kidney? Because a virus cannot travel through the world unless it has a carrier. It has to be in some kind of system where it can stay viable. Most viruses, until they started to weaponize them, could not stay out on a surface in a hostile environment for anywhere from hours to days. Now, things like hepatitis B, it's good for a couple months. If it was, you know, if it was just a dried blood stain, you know, go to your local dialysis clinic, see a little blood stain on a chair or something, that's probably good for hepatitis B for a month. And that's unheard of. But see, that kind of stuff happened when they started to weaponize these things. So typically they have a carrier. And what I would like to know from my people, and anybody can be my people, is, well, where did the SV40 come from? Because if we can understand its natural history, it might inform us of its unnatural history and help us to interfere with these processes. Because the one thing about biological weapons is the creatures that are set against us, they don't have the power of creation. They aren't even creative thinkers. All they do is they mimic nature, and then they skew it to cause harm. So if we can find these pathways, did SV40 start in like a parasite that affects monkey kidneys? Did it live in a bacteria before it got shed, got to the kidney, and then got ground up in a blender and stuck in a needle and shot into a kid?
Well, you know, if I suppose you have to go even farther and say, well, how did it get into monkeys?
And see, that's part of that. If we figure out, you know, did it? It's the Fabergé egg where you pull the top off and there's another egg inside, and you pull the top off, there's another egg inside. It's also called the Russian doll. You know, if we can figure out, did the monkey have a parasite that had a bacteria that had a virus? How did it get the SV40? Because apparently SV40 doesn't affect monkeys the way it does humans.
Well, yeah, I mean, we just read that it's got 1,000% more chance of infecting humans than monkeys. Which is why we should put it in vaccines.
Right, we should amp it up. Oh, by the way, I took notes on your opening of the show. So, like, that 1,000-time quote, let's see, where did I put that? Well, and what they were doing, yeah, we did cover this. What they did is they took SV40 particles and they put it in adenovirus so that it was highly transmissible. And what they do when they, and it's the passaging, that's what I want to talk about. This was attributed to Pasteur. He wanted to make a rabies vaccine, so he would passage it from whatever source he had into, like, the brains of rabbits. And it wouldn't take. And he just kept going, and he just kept going. And he would, like, passage it through different animals to try to get it to take. Well, if it didn't take, it meant that it wasn't that virulent. So when it finally did take, that means he amplified its virulence. And they call it attenuation. It's always opposite day. They're liars. So when you go from species to species, it makes it worse. When you go from SV40 into an adenovirus, the SV40 was only transmissible by mechanical means. You know, it had to be injected or you had been eaten bloody monkey. But the adenovirus, all somebody has to do is not wash their hands after they go to the bathroom or sneeze on you, and all of a sudden, you got the guarantee, you got the money back guarantee that came from that commercial website.
Oh, yeah, you know, I'll never forget, Patrick, when I read for the first time, when I was looking into vaccines, I'll never forget the way they patented and they said, you know, we like the flu virus specifically because it can carry so many different things. We just had to, you know, drill it out, put something else in there, and it'll carry it to wherever we want it to. And they've patented every single possible strain of it, and they release it every once in a while. We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. escapeharassment.com.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money? Has a storage life of 100 years. All for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine Now. Only at hempusa.org.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's
888-311-4311. Here we come. Walk down the street, you get the funniest looks from everyone we meet.
Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we're monkeying around. But we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
Go where we want to.
Those darn parasites, see, they got into my board off, and now he's like, so. That's how powerful this thing is, folks. We are under direct attack. Do you think that they named themselves the monkeys and a TV show was made about the monkeys? Just because, no, that was parasitic. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, Patrick,
Dude, you onioned me.
That was hilarious. I wish I was kidding. That's the thing. I just wish it was a joke, but it's just not a joke.
That was inspired. Props to your board off, too, man.
I know. Well, okay, so let's go back into... You'll have to forgive me, man. The name of these... You said it earlier a couple times... had to do with retroviruses, but
He said, if we're in the image of, made in the image of God, then it's what?
Oh, yeah. It's just so perfect. It's so perfect. Okay, now let me make the disclaimer. I didn't do the genetic science. All I'm doing is meta-analysis. So when we go out and we get the research that's been presented to us and we look at the patterns, we see something come up. And what comes up is they are telling us, because I didn't do any of the lab work, they're telling us that the human genome is 80% junk. Then they changed that to be, well, actually, it is representative of GAG, which is like gamma amino something or other. It codes for the proteins of viruses, GAG. POL is DNA polymerase, which means that's the thing that cuts open the host DNA to insert the viral genes into the host. And then the ENV is the envelope genes that make the crunchy outer shell so that this virus, once it replicates, can go places. It's like its suitcase. And apparently, according to Abby Smith, her tagline is, if we are made in the image of God, then God is GAG, POL, and ENV. Because 80% of our genome is freaking retroviruses, which means endogenous retroviruses have replaced whatever the hell humans were. Where is 80% of our genome? Where did it go? What really are we?
I got a comment on my blog, actually, that they said, you know, it's kind of funny... The Europeans, like, apparently, you know, depending on whose history you're reading, the Europeans basically lived for, well, essentially thousands of years, maintaining a very similar lifestyle. You know, they didn't have a bunch of new inventions every day, a new flip phone. You know, they lived in farmlands. You know, they had their family farm and their villages. They used horses and carts. And then all of a sudden, something happened. The Rosetta Stone was found, right, in 1799. Interestingly, right around all the time that all these civilizations started to just going crazy. The word scientist is used for the first time. Coined by William Whewell in 1833, and inventions are suddenly just going crazy. Then we have the Industrial Revolution. You have, you know, he puts a bunch of things: steel, petroleum products, machinery, internal combustion engines, motor vehicles, sewing machines, telephone, typewriter, light bulbs, steam locomotives, electricity, stethoscopes, fiber optics, elevator, plastics, phonograph, smokeless gunpowder, dynamite, motion picture, surgical anesthesia, steamboats, rubber technologies, water turbines, saxophones, hydraulic crane, fuel cells, you know, it just goes on and on and on. Just in the last, you know, and again, thousands of years, everybody lived the same exact way, ate the same exact things, had the same exact things, were perfectly happy being in a feudal type of fiefdom, knew exactly what was happening, they couldn't read, they couldn't write, didn't need all that crap. And now all of a sudden we're in this situation where we seem to, we just can't get enough invention. We can't stop ourselves from progressing. Even though we're not progressing towards anything, it's just progression for the sake of progression. Oh, we can't stay the same. We have to progress. We have to grow our economy. We have to do... Why? Why do we have to do all these things? Why do we have to grow the economy? Why do we always have to have a positive GDP? Why do we always have to do all of these things that keep growing and growing and growing? Why? Well, because it wasn't like that before. So what changed? And this is where the parasitic infection idea comes from.
Dude, 1799, Jenner did his first experiments in 1790. I'm freaking the hell out.
Well, I mean, seriously, that is when they, you know, I don't know. It's when all this did start, you know, the, like you said, Jenner with his crazy cowpox, you know. It's when the real history of vaccination on a global scale started happening, and then we have the Industrial Revolution. I mean, it's you think about that for a moment. Everything just started changing at that point. I mean, that was when, you know, that was when all of a sudden we got America. Well, wait a minute. What kind of crazy idea is America? What, where did that come from? Right? Are we a parasitic nation?
Arconica.
I don't know, man. It's just crazy.
And
the other thing, Patrick, this guy kind of, the comment, he talks about, there's obviously been a massive exponential spike in technology, and it correlates with the tales of the Archons in Atlantis. Like, there's a movie called Sword and Sandal, which is a old cult movie about this, and, you know, he's basically saying, it's the same thing seemed to happen in times of old, where just all of a sudden there's this massive upbuilding of technology and stuff. But to what end, you know?
Well, just in meta-analysis, it seems that this infection wants to leave the planet so it can infect another place. Or maybe even go home. I don't know. And I'm not being flippant. I'm not one of those gods and aliens in altered states kind of guys. I don't do drugs. I don't subscribe to gods, aliens, good or bad. Demons are definitely real. So when I talk about something being extraterrestrial, you know, they looked at the Mars rocks. They said that they believe that fossil microbes could be in Mars meteorites and that it could actually survive a trip through hostile space and affect reentry without it being significantly damaged if it was sporulated. And most sporulated organisms are damn near indestructible. So there is scientific plausibility to whatever is afflicting this planet wasn't from here.
Well, and you know, you sent me something a while ago. You know what? I actually have it here, so let me just pull it up real quick. It was really bizarre, and I didn't know what to make of it. Titanium spheres with a hint of vanadium. So, never before seen image shows microscopic metal globe spewing out biological material. Material feared to be an infectious agent. This is an express.co.uk news wire. It says alien seed sent Earth aliens. Scientists are baffled about this. It's literally a titanium sphere that, as it says, it kicks spewing out biological material on a microscopic scale, and they don't know what the hell it is. So what the hell's going on here?
Well, my first thought when I saw that was, although they said they discovered it in the stratosphere, well, that's where they're doing their geoengineering.
Exactly.
Stratospheric spraying is the chemtrail. So my first suspicion was, because it's so hard, Clint, you and I are trying to sort through a pile of manure looking for fertilizer. And so is this disinformation or is this a valid, you know, mystery to be looked into? Titanium, they would make these micro titanium, they called them ballistics, and they would coat them with genetic material, and then they would literally shoot these titanium balls into plant material to try to, and the word is transvect, but it's more likely infect cells with these genes that they were trying to do. This is Monsanto that I'm talking about.
Right.
They were trying to insert genes into plants because that was the first effort at genetic engineering is titanium ballistics. So you're
saying literally to shoot tiny, tiny, tiny metal balls that had genetic material in them into the plant?
Into like a leaf. And then you would do what's called tissue culturing, and you would clone the cells of that leaf into a full plant. That's how Monsanto started. Now, these days, and we've advanced at like an exponential rate, you can have a tabletop gene sequencer, and it can have like the four trays of CTAG, and it can poop out, you know, whatever genetic strain you want. And people like the madman Craig Venter are actually inventing organisms, fully functional organisms, out the end of a sequencing machine. So we've come a long way. So when I see something like the titanium balls in the stratosphere, is like, is that from outer space? Typically, as far as you know, my limited knowledge goes, you're not going to see titanium from outer space. It seems more like a man-made project to get this crap into us.
Yeah, well, that's scary stuff, man. What did they call that, by the way? Do you remember when Monsanto was doing it?
All I can remember is the key words was called ballistic genetic engineering.
Jeez.
And they would use microspheres or maybe even nanospheres. I don't know if they had the technology back in the 80s to make nanospheres of titanium. You'd put the gene, you know, solution that you wanted to infect the plant with, and then you just shoot it, you know, at incredible pressures into the plant. And it was a hit-and-miss thing.
Maybe we can help them. A lot of us out here have these things called shotguns with lead in them. We can ballistically help them, maybe.
See, you know, that's the part that fascinates me, Clint, is the kind of stuff that we're talking about. You know, if I was successful in destroying hope in people, then they should be the wild rat that finally knows that it is cornered, that its life is in mortal danger, and should rise up and fight.
Yeah, because you know, if these people out here were watching a movie about this, if we were just reading the script of a movie, they'd be like, yeah, kill him, don't let him get you like this, don't let him get you, don't let him alter the entire lifespan of the earth, don't let him ruin your humanity.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's not real, it's fiction, right?
Well, we can't see it.
Yeah.
You can't see it. When they all look like humans, you know, how can you see the aliens? But you know, and that's what I'm saying, you know, when I walk into a Yehudi establishment, they can smell me from 20 feet away. The whole room changes. I actually smelled adrenaline once. Because I got chemical allergies, my sense of smell is heightened. Almost sometimes I can detect things like a dog where no other people can smell what I smell. And I actually smelled a hormone spike of adrenaline, and it's like, damn, it actually made a shock in my system because I sensed it. The other person was shocked, I sensed it, and it put a shock through my system. So imagine if these creatures that are not us have heightened senses, because after all, they've calcified our pineal glands, they've made us deathly ill in every endocrine organ that we have. We are diminished as biological entities. What if theirs are intact? They can probably smell us or see us from, you know, long distances. They know we aren't them. And see, that's if there was any kind of encouragement, because I am here to destroy hope, if there is any kind of encouragement, then people like, you know, my list members, your listeners, you and I, Clint, there's something different about us. Apparently,
let me ask you this.
We aren't taken over by these creatures.
Let me ask you this. I was just trying to think of what people might have actually in common. I'll take myself, for example. I spent some significant time on Dr. A. Truot's frequency machine. It's called the photon sound beam. Right?
Okay.
I know you've messed with frequency before, right?
I used the Holda Clark zapper.
Okay. Anybody else out there? I know we're all familiar with
it. A lot of people have Rife machines, yep.
Yeah, well, maybe... See, I'm always going back down to frequency. Frequency is everything. It is everything, and I go back to that all the time. I think, you know, that has to be the key. And now I'm looking into this 432, why they changed everything from 432 to 440 hertz, you know, as the standard in tuning. Well, who did that? Well, the Rockefeller Institute initiated it through the United Nations and created the international standard for tuning at 440, which is not harmonious at any way. When you look back at all the religions and all the gurus and everything, it was always the 432 was the A, I think, the tuning fork. And there's tuning forks that are tuned to 432, which is a very harmonious frequency. And again, what have they done? One of the most restricted areas in government is the airwaves. You can't access the airwaves. They're completely taken over and restricted. But anyway, we'll be back, folks. Stay tuned.
Shoe the children with no shoes on their feet. House the people living in the street. Oh, there's a solution.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Doctor and the doctor said,
no more monkeys
Four-letter monkeys jumping on the bed. One fell off and bumped his head. So Mama called the doctor and the doctor said,
no more monkeys jumping on the bed.
Ah, yes, the monkeys. This never-before-seen image shows a microscopic metal globe spewing out biological material feared to be an infectious agent. Though the origin or purpose of the mysterious sphere is uncertain, experts say it could contain genetic material, a precursor to life. They sensationally claim it could have been designed by an intelligent species to seed and propagate alien life on Earth. Or just life. It is the first time anything like this has been seen, and points not only to the existence of extraterrestrial life, but to complex and civilized beings watching our planet. It follows findings that DNA capable of inserting itself into living creatures and replicating can exist in harsh space conditions. A tiny plasmid, a circular strand of DNA used in genetic engineering, was sent into space from Sweden in 2011 on the exterior of a Texas 49 rocket. After enduring 1,000 centigrade heat, it was found to be still intact with its biological properties when it returned to Earth. This comes from Buckingham Center for Astrobiology at the University of Buckingham in England, said it was further proof of alien life. However, the latest finding by Professor Milton Wainwright and his team from University of Sheffield and the University of Buckingham Center for Astrobiology could reveal a much more sinister purpose, conjuring images warned by H.G. Wells in his 1898 novel War of the Worlds. It could have been deliberately engineered and sent to Earth to infect the planet. Or it could have been engineered by Monsanto to infect the planet. Professor Wainwright said the structure is made from the metals titanium and vanadium, with a gooey biological liquid oozing from its center. He said there are several theories as to where it came from. The first being, it is a complete microorganism programmed to propagate alien life on Earth. It is a ball about the width of a human hair, which has filamentous life on the outside and a gooey biological material oozing from its center. It has baffled scientists. So, okay, that's just wonderful. Patrick, I mean, to me that just sounds like, again, like Monsanto. It just sounds like, filamentous something. That sounds like Morgellons to me.
Oh, nicely done there. Yeah. And so the problem that we're faced with, Clint, is this real or is this Memorex? You know, is this the agency of something that already invaded our planet and is just playing a spoof on us? Or are we constantly being bombarded by whatever from the outside? And my response to all this, Clint, is if we understand what makes us up, because Sun Tzu's maxims were know yourself first, know your enemy, then we can fight the other side.
Well, thank you, Patrick. VaccineFraud.com. That's VaccineFraud.com. Patrick's got a bunch of wonderful books that you can buy. I highly recommend them. All right, my friend, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks again, and we'll see you tomorrow. Got an interesting guest on Friday, too. Tomorrow, KW is going to be back. I know you're all excited about that. But Friday, Malcolm Bowden is going to be there. He's a geocentrist. That's going to be interesting. Take care, folks.